Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Ecclesiastes 4, one might be overtaken, two can withstand the attack, but a threefold cord's not quickly broken. There's an addition when you start praying, get Jesus involved in your marriage, boy, it starts to accelerate. Number four, do you worship God together with other believers? So important. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, especially in the last days, as we see the Lord's return approaching. It is so, so very important. You need to be in a good local church. Church is where life is. Everything on this planet is dying except the church. There's less ozone, rainforest, whale, species of animals, good air, good water, peace on earth. You want to name it, there's less of it now than there was years ago. Except for the church. She's increasing. She's stronger, richer, healthier, happier. All the things that God promised, she has. Two things last forever, God said. People and His Word. Everything else perishes. But people and the Word of God last forever. Isn't that a great thing? So you need to be in a good local church, hanging out with other believers, fellowshipping. The Bible says in Acts 2, the church grows four ways. Praying, studying, fellowshipping, and eating together. You know, you need to be praying with somebody, studying with somebody, fellowshipping with somebody, and eating with somebody who loves God. That is how you grow. That's the balanced growth right there. Number five, do you serve God together in activities that will build up the church and honor Christ? People say, what's that? You volunteer at your church. You want your home to do well, help God's home. Be an usher, a greeter, a Sunday school teacher, a nursery worker, a volunteer at a special event. Be willing to do something behind the scenes if you want to. But you ought to find something you can do together in your local church. There's where growth starts to take place. Number six, do you and your spouse seek to please one another? Is that your goal? Is my goal to please my spouse? I'll be honest with you, there's been many times in my marriage my goal was to please me. What are you thinking about? Me. I'm thinking about me. And every time I do, it gets me in trouble. And it doesn't bear me a whole lot of fruit. If I flip that thing around and just, again, walk into the room and want to be the miracle instead of need one, and they're always sowing that seed, man, good crops come back when you do that. Number seven, do you ask for forgiveness when you've done something wrong? Boy, isn't that a tough one? Is that not the hardest thing you've ever done in your married life? To admit you're wrong and ask for forgiveness, knowing maybe they won't give it. You know, it's maybe just a slam door back in your face or something, but you do it because it's right to do it. Number eight, do you take full responsibility for your thoughts, your actions, and your reactions? Well, it's frustrating to be married to an immature person who refuses to take responsibility. Boy, don't you hear that a lot in counseling? They just refuse to take responsibility. They're still a child. They act like a child. You just don't want to stay there. You want to grow. You want to grow in the grace and knowledge. Number nine, do you allow your mate to disagree with you without becoming nasty or punishing him or her? Somebody once said the most important thing you can do in marriage is make sure your spouse has a safe place to talk. In other words, they can say something without being cut down, ridiculed, chewed at, chewed up, chewed on, that they have the freedom to open their mouth and speak their mind without being made fun of. They got freedom to talk because they won't talk. If you keep cutting them down, you won't let them talk. They'll stop talking altogether. And if you're not talking, you're never going to get an agreement and get that tenfold power God talks about when spouses get an agreement with one another. Number 10, do you allow your spouse to make mistakes without becoming nasty or punishing them? You know, that's a great one. Can you make mistakes? The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day and they get back up. We're not known as the perfect people. We're known as the getting back up people. So it's a wonderful thing to allow your spouse. Well, I can't believe you did that again. Well, how stupid is that? Or when are you going to learn? Or when are you going to grow up? Guys, I'm just like putting gasoline on a fire. That won't fix a thing. Do you focus on the things that are commendable, praiseworthy, and good about your mate? What do you think about all the time? What your mate's not doing, what they're not good at? You know, the Bible says you think the best of all men. No, I'm going to think the best. I'm going to compliment what you do real well and watch you grow. Number 12, do you express appreciation to your mate in tangible ways? Do you express gratitude and thanks? Thanks for what? You name it. Thanks for getting my clothes ready. Thanks for the meal. Thank you for working real hard to, you know, fix that bike for the kids. Thank you for taking the kid on the fishing trip. Thank little things, people. Little things. One of the prerequisites of a pastor is he's given to hospitality. That means he's constantly opening his home, his heart, for other people. And what you want is gratitude for that. You know, you love it when somebody says, thank you. Still the most powerful words probably on the planet. Thank you. Thank you. A sincere thank you. So powerful. Number 13, you communicate in an in-depth way with each other daily. Now, I know that can be a challenge sometimes in today's society, but boy, is it important. And we need to talk about something besides the weather and the news. Now, maybe that's how we start out. Best way I know to do it is read the Word together. You know, just read a proverb together. Just open up, get you a good liberal translation, and read a proverb. It will provoke things. You'll begin to talk about things, not just shallow things, but deep things. Number 14, do you express your opinions, ideas, plans, and aspirations, fears, feelings, likes, dislikes, views, problems, joy, frustrations, and annoyances with each other? In other words, do you open up? Can you open up? Can I share what I'm really feeling, what I'm really thinking? Again, without being ridiculed, made fun of, or thinking I'm stupid. If you don't allow to do that, you don't grow. You don't grow together. Do you and your mate understand each other when you try to express yourself? In other words, if you got to know each other's love languages, what's important to you? What's important to my spouse today is not what's important to me even after 34 years. We're still two different people that God has made one. You understand what I mean by that? And so we've learned each other. You know, he's kind of like, I know what you need, what I need, what you need to do, what I need to do. And then you can start using that to serve one another instead of abuse each other. Number 16, how many different things together, or how do you do very many things together and enjoy being with each other? Are you involved in common projects? I used to make a list for the men in our men's retreats because they just go blank. Unless they just sort of happened into, well, my wife likes this and my wife likes flowers. Well, if she likes flowers, you build her a flower bed. My wife likes to read house magazines. Well, if you subscribe some to her, we sit down reading with her. My husband really likes to play golf. You ever gone with him on a trip, ridden in the cart or maybe picked up a club and played with him for a while? You need to find things that you do together. If you're going weeks and months and years, you never do anything together, that's going to show up. Because that means you're probably pouring all your life into your children and your job. What happens when the job finally gets where it needs to be, or it plays out, or the kids grow up and move out of home? Is there anything left there, or is it just a shell of what it once was? Number 17, do you show love in many practical and tangible ways? Now, the way I used to do this with the men was make them do this. I said, if you were in a court of law, could you prove you love your wife? Well, I got a marriage certificate. That proves you're married. How do you prove you love your wife? Because according to 1 Corinthians 13, love is an action word. It does things. Can you bring proof, tangible proof, that you love your wife? Well, I've got the receipts of the flowers I bought. Well, we'll start with that. That'll be something. I built her a gazebo out back. She wanted that. I can go show you that. Wonderful. Now we're talking about tangible. What have you done if you love? It's almost like they used to say about children spell love two ways, T-I-M-E and M-O-N-E-Y, time and money. If you love me, show me the cash and spend some time with me. So that's a real good thing to think about. Number 18, do you still court one another by occasional gifts and unexpected attention? Again, these are things that we learn the hard way, particularly, I think, guys. Got a great book on how to be romantic years ago, secular book, but had some great ideas. Nothing to do with sex, just romantic things. Thinking about the little things of the other person. Have you ever had somebody buy you a gift and surprised you? Hey, I want to buy you something. And you get it and you open it up. And when you open it up, it is absolutely nothing you either need nor do you want. Yet this person's gone to trouble, spent money, had it wrapped up to give you this. You ever had that happen? It just feels so funny when that happens. But if you had somebody get you something and you open it up and you think, how did you know I wanted that? Who told you I wanted that? How did you know? How did you even know? I don't think I told anybody. How did you know I wanted this? Let me tell you what that is. That's love. Love finds out the details about people and does things for them. Things only they know that they want and would like. You know, again, guys, you need to remember, wives drop hints. They don't give direct commands. They'll hint at things. So keep the radar out there, guys, to pick up those things she's going to hint at and talk to you about. Number 19, is your conversation pleasant and friendly? Are you always flying off the handle? Are you rude? Do you talk to your spouse worse than you talk to a dog? You know, do you talk nicer to your people at work that you work with than you do your own spouse? And we probably have a problem. Probably have a bad habit we're going to have to correct and give to God and change. Number 20, do you pray for one another? And do you seek support and encouragement for one another? In other words, I'm going to pray for you and let them know that. And actually let them hear you do it. Here, come here, man, I want to pray for you. And you just bow your head, grab their hand, and just start praying. Father, I thank you for my spouse, for the blessing that they are. Thank you for giving them wisdom and strength in what they're doing right now and the projects that they're working on or with the kids. They need to hear you do that. A heartfelt, sincere prayer. Number 21, can you discuss differing viewpoints on values and priorities, religious convictions, politics, without becoming irritated? You know, I will tell you honestly, most of the time, not necessarily all the time, Denise and I, even after 34 years, still getting to know one another, what you really think and believe. We are not the same people we married 34 years ago. We have different standards and values, higher standards, higher values. You know, we have bigger visions and dreams. We're not coasting in, we're still building. And so to do that, we still run into one another as we're communicating, trying to plan, you know, the rest of our life. It's an exciting way to live. Do you anticipate sexual relations with your partner? Is that something that's old hat? Or you still enjoy making love to one another? You know, it's a biblical command. You know, it's real important in the Bible. You know, we have a whole seminar we do on sex and marriage. Is it something you still anticipate or you dread? Or you hope they go to sleep early and you don't have to make love to them? You know, if that's so, we need to do a checklist because that's not normal. You know, God talked about, you know, being ravished, you know, with your spouse, being satisfied with the breasts of the wife of your youth, you know, to be intoxicated with each other's love. And it wasn't until you were 40. I mean, it goes until you hear your name called in heaven. You know, there are people in their 80s still enjoy making love to one another, as husbands and wives. It's something that ought to continue. So it's something you do a checklist. If it's drying up right there, that's not a good sign. That's a manifestation. Maybe we got a different other problem we need to look at. Do you agree about the way money should be spent? Do you agree about the way money should be spent? If you don't, you're going to be fighting about it. And you are fighting about it if you're not talking about it. If there's not a pre-existing priority list, like a budget, that's why budgets are so good, where you already know, this is what I think's important, this is what you think's important, let's put them together, and what does God think is most important? What, the next dollar, the next $10, the next 100, the next 1,000, the next 10,000, the next, you know, 100,000, the next $1 million that comes into our family, where is it going to go? Do we already have a list? If you already have a list, a place to put it, chances are it's going to come a lot quicker. You know, it's just how God works. Do you think your spouse is as concerned about your views about the way money should be spent as their own? Well, that's always usually different, you know, because men see money differently than women do. That's why it has to be talked about and discussed. Do you agree on how to bring up your children? On what discipline should be done? On about their social life? When they should start dating? You agree about, you know, their education, where they should go and not go, and who their friends should and should not be. And that's a good thing. If you're fighting over that, then what we've got to do is get in the Word of God and find out. Then this, do you have a good relationship with your in-laws, and do you appreciate them? I tell people all the time, never say anything nasty about your in-laws, because if Jesus tarries, you will go to their funeral one day. If Jesus tarries, you will go to your in-law's funeral one day. And by that time, you can't take it back or do anything about it. Make sure you say good things and honor the office that they stand in. I don't care what your spouse says. Don't side in with them on that. And then the last thing is, do you really respect your spouse? Do you really respect them? Because you treat people different that you respect. You know, no different than the president walking in a room or some famous person or somebody you honor. Love and respect are two key things. That's why God had to command women to respect their husbands, and or honor them is actually the better word, and husbands to love their wives, because it's not natural. So you do it just because it's right to do it. Father, I thank you for what we've learned today about the practical things of marriage, this inventory checklist. Thank you, Lord, for giving us wisdom to monitor how we're doing and to be vigilant and diligent to increase this thing and not let it diminish. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.